Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
This is Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy. Jeff, the cowboy cook, has been all over the world and knows all things barbecue. Jeff is an author, an actor, radio and TV host, and loves his horses. If he's not cooking or riding horses, he's playing golf. So, hey, ready to talk barbecue? Here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, high atop the radio world in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios. That's right. We are in Portland still. But we've got a brand new station we're working out of here, AM 860, The Answer. And we're actually in Clackamas, Oregon now, and that's a pretty cool thing. Camaro Dave's out on the selfie circuit. And this week is our first show here on the new stations here in Portland and also out on the, as I said, the Barbecue Nation Radio Network. I've asked my old dear friend, not that he's old, he's not, he's spring-like. Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet. You know, you were the first big, when I started this show, it's been going over 4 years now, you were the first big celebrity that I actually had on the show. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't. And yeah. That is shocking.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
You know, I would have thought everybody was simply lined up for you.
Well, after you were on, they did. But, you know, I think once I had you on and you, you know, you established my credibility, then everything was good. So I thank you for that.
Well, I am delighted. Thank you. And now I feel my life has been worthwhile.
There you go. I wanted to really quickly tell everybody that this portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest, beef you can feel good about serving your family and friends. So we have Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet, on with us today. First of all, how have you been?
You know, I have never been better. I came to a kind of crossroads in my life recently. Since I'm 85, you might as well come to a crossroads eventually. and I just hung a left. And don't think of that in terms of political left or right, but I made a 90-degree turn, and I just simply could not feel better about this if I tried.
And what was the turn?
I thought you would never ask. Oh, dear. It's a hard thing to encapsulate, but I'll really try. I've been trying for 44 years of my life. With a very simple idea that you and I have talked about before, which is this. If we, by what we eat from day to day, are doing ourselves some kind of damage, which after time is going to manifest itself as a serious chronic disease, which is, by the way, what 50% of us have in the United States. That's one in every two people has a chronic serious disease as a result of eating behavior. Now, if that is true, which it is, that center of disease control, then my idea was, oh, well, why don't we just simply change that? And let's change that using a quality of American life, which has always been the reason why I want to be an American citizen and I want to live here. And that is, we're actually, if we see a neighbor that has a need, we're going to drop everything and do something about it. That's the kind of people we are.
Right.
That comes from our heritage, and that's an American. And that's the very best that we can say about ourselves. We care for each other. So if you can't care enough for oneself to start making some food changes, then what about if we cared for somebody else who was going through some real trouble and we could reduce our expenditure on food by reducing certain kinds of threats in our life, which are all somewhat different from each other, and simply take half of our savings and apply that to that other person's life through whatever agency we feel is trustworthy to do that. So in other words, my habits that harm me can become a resource that heals somebody else. And I have loved that idea, Jeff, as a pure piece of logic. And I'm a really practical, you know, as a cook, when you give advice to somebody about a recipe, you really want that to work.
Oh,
it's
sure.
It's a really practical, measurable thing. And when I talked about habits that harm becoming, for me, it was sounded so practical and so worthwhile and so applicable to who we are as Americans. And I have been unable to get that done for 44 years of my life. Okay?
Yeah.
I could talk about it, and people listen to me, and they say, oh, yeah, that's right, absolutely. But can I get people to do it is another issue altogether. So what I've done in my life, I've stopped trying to make that the very thing that I most want to do with my life. Because I'm like a bird in a greenhouse who's trying to escape and keeps on flying into what seems to me to be the clear air, but I hit this pane of glass.
Right.
And I'm bouncing back off that time after time after time. And I'm thinking, one day I'm going to get through. And you know, the other day I did, I just chose a different route out of that system. It isn't a question of logic, it's a question of love. And we have got to a place in our culture where we can hardly talk about love anymore because it's been so violated by so many different expressions, that it's really just a compassionate understanding of somebody in the world today who's truly hurting. And I can do something about it with my own personal life, making an adjustment that benefits me and them at the same time. So I'm just out about telling people, come on, let's love one another. It's long overdue, and we shouldn't leave it. So in the meantime, I'm just giving people advice on how they can get more plant food into their diet without being vegan or vegetarian. We need more plants if we're going to succeed to beat the chronic disease thing.
Yeah,
that's true.
You have to be careful with those terms on this show, though, because some people might think that's blasphemy, but it's really not, as far as a barbecue show. But
I don't know. I understand that.
Yeah.
And I get it. And hey, you give me a good slow roasted brisket and some really good ribs, which have been just melt in your mouth. Come on, man.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know, it doesn't get much better than that. What I really want to have people is eat about 7 servings of plant food a day, or plant food a day, sorry for my accent. And it's really not hard. And I just, and that, by all means have the ribs, by all means have the brisket, by all means the barbecue and whatever. But please, let's have enough plant food to just sustain a nourished life.
Now, of course, this is meant to be sarcastic because we've got about a minute left before we have to go to break. But does Pepsi, pepperoni, and Hostess chocolate cupcakes, do they count?
I do love you, Betty. Oh, you're such fun. I think perhaps if you were to spear a cupcake with a pepperoni, you might come up with some marvelous new product that people would simply adore. Imagine pepperoni-style cupcakes. I could just see it now.
Oh, yeah. No, it's got merit. It's got potential. And the reason I say that is because when I graduated from college and I went literally to work the next day, and that was my diet. I'm ashamed to say it. Of course, I was 22 years old and I weighed, you know, 185 pounds and I was fit and all that. But I would drink a large Pepsi or Coke. I had 2 pieces of pepperoni and a Hostess chocolate cupcake every morning for breakfast. That's what I ate for a while. I can't do that anymore.
Isn't this And are you one of the one of every two people? Do you have a chronic disease yet?
I work in radio. I don't need one.
The chronic disease is television.
Yes, it is. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back here on Barbecue Nation with my good friend, the Galloping Gourmet, Graham Kerr, right after this. Don't go away. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPawn.com.
This is Barbecue Nation with JT. Now, back to the grill.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I've got my good friend Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet, with us. We're on a new station here as our base station in Portland, AM 860, The Answer. The folks here have been wonderful to us, and we thank them all for rolling out the red carpet to us here on The Nation. And then, as I said earlier, Graham was the first infamous person I ever had on the Nation when I started this show. So I owe him a lot, because he was, for those of you who are new listeners, he was the man that inspired me when I was younger. I was in junior high school to start cooking, and this is the man that did it right here on the other end of the phone. So I owe him a lot for that. But we will.
I'm delighted, Jeff. Delighted.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to inspire you all over again.
Yes. Yep. So your recommendations. I understand that you want to get, you know, more greens, more vegetables, more plants in our diets. So give me a couple quick scenarios of how one would actually go about that. How does one put down the pepperoni and chocolate cupcakes and say, you know, I think I'll have an apple, or I'll eat some celery or something?
Okay. Yeah, that's almost always what people think of. But I want to be able to say, I understand that in order to be properly nourished, you have to be delighted at the same time. If you're not delighted with what you're trying to do to nourish yourself, it's just simply not going to last. You know, there's just so much celery you can eat. So what I do in the morning, I have an oatmeal. Now, I need to tell you that I'm part of a panel working with local libraries around the country. We're putting together a class for young people who are between 10 and 14 mm-hmm. years of age, and we're giving them things that they can take home to cook at home at their age to be an influence in their family. That's the idea. So one of the panel members said, I would not eat oatmeal if you strapped me down and tried to prise my jaws apart. And I said, well, let me bring you down a sample of what I do, and with a spoon, and let's see what you think. And she said, well, no, don't hold your breath. And so it's very clear. So I brought it down, and I gave her a spoonful, and she loved it. So I know that there are people who are terrorized by oatmeal. And I just bear with me. This is called purple porridge. Purple porridge, if you want to come up with an acronym for it, it's PP, which probably doesn't work too well.
No.
You may even have to bleep it on radio. So purple porridge is, you put, I'll give you some ingredients for just one serving. And you might as well just try one serving to begin with, just to see. 1/4 cup of old-fashioned rolled oats, you know, the Bob Mills ones.
Sure.
That they do a good one, and they're around, not the steel cut and not the the instant oats, but the good old-fashioned rolled oats. So you put that in a saucepan. I do it at night time before I go to bed. It doesn't cook overnight. It's just that in the morning I'm less than sensible. And so if I have everything ready for me in the morning, all I have to do is pour on the milk and put the lid on and then go about my business. So I put that on, and then I also put a quarter of a cup of dried fruit, and that can be your own personal. It can be just raisins if you want.
Sure.
If you want to add cranberries to that, if you want to add freeze-dried blueberries, that's wonderful. And there's also some sour cherries, which have been dried recently in the Northwest, and they are wonderful. Now, I shake up a little packet of each of those, and I put a quarter of a cup of dried fruit. Now, one quarter cup of dried fruit is a serving, so we've got the first serving into the thing already. Then what I do, I've got some chopped nuts. I go to Costco, and they do a nice big pot, four-pound thing of nuts. And that really works out quite well, and they're nicely mixed. So I just grind them up, so there's a real texture to them. You know, 1/8 pieces if you're going to measure this thing. So they go, and I put a couple of tablespoonfuls of nuts into it, and now I go to bed. Now in the morning, I just find the hole in the top of the saucepan and pour the milk on the top of that. I pour a cup of milk onto that quarter cup of combination with nuts and dried fruit and oats. And then I just let that on a low heat whilst I go and do my journaling that I do in the morning and exercise. And as most people don't do that sort of thing. So
right.
What I do is I would therefore put it on about a medium height so that the heat, the milk heats up. It only takes 10 to 15 minutes for those rolled oats to soften and begin to make this thing velvety soft with the milk in it. So stir that, bring it to the boil, and then add another quarter of a cup, this time of the triple berry frozen fruits that you can get nowadays in the stores. There's a lot of frozen berries in the freezer department. And again, Costco does the thing called triple berry. I'm not a Costco. I'm not paid by Costco, but that's where I have found the most economical thing. They do a four-pound bag, and that lasts me for the month. Now, I just take a quarter of a cup of those and put that into the top and stir that in frozen and bring it to the boil so that it cooks through, and that turns it a bright purple color. It may also curdle the milk. And so what you do with that, then this is the final ingredient. There's the Nestle's do a hazelnut creamer.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the hazelnut creamer. I put 2 tablespoons full of hazelnut creamer into it, and it immediately stops the curdling. I have absolutely no idea about the science about why it does it, but it does it. You stir that together, pour that into a bowl, and put a spoonful of vanilla, low-fat Greek yogurt onto the top of that, and sit down, and you will have one of the best breakfasts you have ever had in your life. Really hot, boiling oatmeal, bright purple, filled with antioxidants, 2 servings of fruit and vegetables a day already under your, plus the fiber and all of the good stuff that you have, and the milk as well from a protein point. Yes!
There you go.
And then you eat the heated oatmeal and the ice-cold yogurt at the same time. That combination of texture, temperature, and that is a brilliant way to start the day. It's so much better than cupcakes and...
pepperoni. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back here on Barbecue Nation with Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet, right here in Portland. The Answer and the Barbecue Nation Network. We'll be right back. It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033, 503-982-2033, at BarclaysBuySellPawn.com.
This is Barbecue Nation with JT. Now, back to the grill.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and we're talking with Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet, today. This portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef from the heart of the Pacific Northwest. comes a beef product you can feel good about. And also, my buddy's down there at Barclays in Woodburn. What are you going to do with your tax refund if you get it? How about buying some gold and silver from Barclays? You can find them at Barclays.com online. And we're in our new studios today, AM 60, The Answer, AM 860, The Answer. I'll get it right, believe me. Another couple of years, I'll have this knocked out. we're talking with Graham Kerr. So this change in, you know, back in the day, you were the, what I don't know, what did they call you? The Prince of Hedonism or something? Or
The High Priest of Hedonism.
The High Priest of Hedonism, yep. Yeah. Maybe that's what attracted, you know, you to me or me to you as far as your cooking styles and all that. But
yeah,
it really, everything you ever cooked, it doesn't matter whether it was back in those days or as you've progressed into cooking other things, you've always been one about balance in what you're serving people and what you're cooking.
Yep.
I mean, I can remember, and not, of course I didn't understand it back then, but, you know, when you were talking about, you know, you were clarifying the butter and you were doing this and you had the scallops were doing that. And then, you know, over here you had some truffles or something and they were doing this. And besides looking fantastic, which, as you know, in our business is a good portion of it, especially when you work in the media yeah. with food, but really going back and looking at it, and it was the balance of the meals, but yet you've kept that going forward. And as you're trying to get people to eat healthier, maybe a little smaller portions and things, you've made this progression over the years, but you've still kept everything in balance. Is that a conscious thing for you, or is that just something that you absolutely is just ingrained in your psyche and you just do it?
You know, it's changed a little bit. You know, a teeter-totter is fine and easy to sort of go up and down when both people are the same weight. But if one is much heavier than the other, it's harder and you have to change the plank along, you know,
right.
in order to get it to work. I've done some changing. There's no question. I really did not understand, but I really thoroughly enjoyed all plant foods, you know,
mm-hmm.
I ate a great deal of them. And you're right, there was always balance in what I did. But frankly, my focus was always upon the meat, which, as I understand, is where you're coming from, too. It's where we find ourselves and where we earn a living
right.
is an important thing. But, you know, all I've come down to, that you get people who talk about 11 servings of plant food a day. And a serving, by the way, is virtually a cupful of something. It's about 3.5 ounces, almost a quarter of a pound.
Right, right.
And so if you're taking 11 by quarter pounds, that's an awful lot of produce. And you really have no space for anything else but plant foods. And that's vegan. That is, and I do not want to go there. There are many very valid reasons for people doing that, but they do not fit into my criteria for a meal.
Right.
I want to see some protein, some meat in that meal, and I want it to be really exciting. For example, I take there's a sack you can get, again, at Costco, which is called stir-fried vegetables. It's just over 5 pounds in weight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite a large thing. And it's very reasonably priced. I think it works out at something like 80 cents a portion. And a portion for me is a serving. So what I do is I tip the whole bag out on my kitchen counter, and I scoop it up into one serving portions in individual little freezer bags.
Sure.
And then I throw the whole lot of those into the fridge. I usually get 15 to 16 packages of that. So when I come back and I've been working hard and I want a meal and I want it now, I'm not prepared to have somebody else make it for me. I will go to my fridge, take out my frozen food, drop it into a sauté pan with probably 2 or 3 teaspoonfuls of olive oil, And then put a lid over the top of that, shake it about so that the oil is distributed, and there it sautés quietly at about a third of the heat. So it's moderate to low heat. And it steams through, and in about 8 minutes, that is completely defrosted and it's picked up a little color from, and on the bits that are down on the bottom of the pan.
Sure.
Then what I do, I would take, I buy the large rotisserie chickens, right? And I get that home, and I cut that up into six different pieces, and I also wrap that and put that in the deep freeze. I can put that through the defrost cycle of my microwave, and I've got that ready, and that's in 7 minutes. So if I do that at the same time I'm defrosting the two, I'm within, now I'm under 10 minutes, and I'm almost ready to eat. I do black rice, and by the way, if you haven't had black rice, please go online and buy some and try it. It's very high in antioxidants. It's a splendid carbohydrate to be able to have in every way, but it does take 40 minutes to cook. So I cook a big mass of that, and I put that in little bags as well. So I take that out, I crumble that up, and put it on the top, and then I would get one of those marvelous things that you love, which is one of these smoky, mesquite kind of sort of sweet and sourish background with a bit of jalapeno in as well. There are all kinds of those.
Yeah.
And all I'm going to do is add two tablespoons full of that to the stir fry, stirring it all in, chop up that little piece of chicken when it comes out from the defrost like this. And I'm sitting down, my friend, and I am having myself a wonderful meal in under 15 minutes.
Exactly. You know, my daughter.
Come on.
My daughter taught
me. I did it. Yeah.
I know you did. And I was going to tell you, my daughter, who lived in Seattle for a number of years, when she came home, because she's off to New York here shortly, but she came home, she actually taught me a couple things about cooking. One of the things was she would do things very similar to what you did. She didn't go to Costco. She went to Trader Joe's, all right? And she would buy their pre-cooked fried rice, say Chinese fried, and she would do pot stickers. And there were some other things she did too.
Yep.
Excuse me. Anyway, she would do that, and she came home, and she could have her lunch ready to go to work in about 10 to 15 minutes, complete. I mean, the same type of thing you did, like that. And so, of course, I followed the example perfectly. I would just go grab the whole bag of fried rice and dump it in the frying pan with a bit of oil and pot stickers in the next pan, and then I would have to go to Trader Joe's for her. So,
And what I'm saying is, it is within everybody's capability of being able to do what I call my fast food factory.
Yeah.
I do it one Saturday per month. I have done all the preparation I need for the whole month for my evening meals.
Well, there you go. Hey.
And when you have a family, rope the family in. And it's like Little House on the Prairie stuff again. So put your ex thing away and stop fiddling with that damn game and come in here and chop some vegetables, or let's saute this. Let's get all of this basic stuff ready. Then we can ring the changes during the months about what we add to it, so that we have the variety. You get, the andouille sausage. It's a wonderful thing to add into that stir-fry vegetable base.
Oh, yeah.
And all I'm saying, it's substantially plant food, but it's so exciting to be able to come across these unusual bits of protein within the thing that is so easily achieved.
Absolutely. Hey, we are going to take a break. We're going to be back here on Barbecue Nation with Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet, and yours truly, JT, the pepperoni and Hostess Twinkie, our chocolate cupcake guy, right after this. Don't go. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPawn.com.
This is Barbecue Nation with JT. Now, back to the grill. I am
sailing. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We've got Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet, with us today. We're very fortunate, as I said at the top of the show, Graham is not only a very good friend of mine, but he was the very first guest of quality that I had on Barbecue Nation over 4 years ago. So I always thank him for that, and I thank him for inspiring me to start cooking a long time ago. That was more than 4 years ago, actually.
That's 50 years ago.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah, I hate thinking about it like that, but it really was.
I know.
Okay, a couple of quick things. You've traveled the world. Yeah. You've taught many people. You've inspired many people. You're a great author. I have most of your books and all of that. But a couple of very quick tips here. You've seen so many people cooking, trying to cook, emulating your cooking, emulating other people's styles of cooking. A couple of things that people do are simple misinterpretations, or maybe they're errors, that you could give them some advice to fix real quick.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. Let's take thickenings for a start. If you're making a stew of any kind, the basic method of making a stew is to start off on this, what is called a roux base, R-O-U-X, which mm-hmm. is really a combination of butter and flour, and that's stirred together. And when it's cooked together and then you add liquid to it, it can hold about six times its own weight in liquid. So it's a very effective way of doing it. You're adding a little butter to the sauce, which is always nice. And the flour, what they call despumates, and that sounds awful, but what it means is the starch breaks down and begins to absorb the liquid surrounding it, and it becomes marvelously velvety on the palate. So this is the standard method by which people create that wonderful, smooth, saucy kind of finish.
Sure.
To a stew. Now, what I've done, I've done away with that roux thing altogether, and I begin with the tomato paste. So, and you can get the very little jars, you know, about 6 ounce size. That's a good way of being able to get it. And use that, put that into, before a stew starts, and stir that up with a little olive oil in the bottom of the pan, and keep stirring it. It does take about 5 minutes to do this. And you'll see it go from bright red to a kind of mahogany color. It's got to drop in quality. When it drops in quality, in color quality, it will pick up in terms of flavor. The flavors multiply amazingly because of the heat you apply to it. So then use that as the basis for the then add the beef stock or whatever else it is to that, and finish it off with arrowroot.
Oh yeah,
arrowroot costs a little bit, but Bob Mills has a good arrowroot, and never buy it in a 1 ounce jar. You know, the spice people do it. But always buy it as a 1 pound package and use it for thickening. And arrowroot thickens brilliantly without leaving the cloudiness that cornstarch has. So it's just a tablespoonful to add 2 or 3 tablespoons of water to it, mix it up, and then pour it in, take it off the stove, pour it in, stir it around, and this amazing brilliance is added to the sauce. Brilliant.
Okay.
It's lovely to finish, and you cut saturated fat. It doesn't require the amount of effort and work. It's done in a fat. And that tomato base is the best thing you've ever had as a base for a good stew.
There you go. Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet, thank you, my friend, for being with us this week on Barbecue Nation. We will have you back. We won't be doing After Hours with Graham for today because he's got another commitment, but I will get him back and do that. That's always fun. So thank you again, and always a pleasure to have you on the show.
And it's always a joy to hear your voice. Oh, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD Productions in association with AM860 The Answer. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019.
I am sailing home again, across the sea. I am sailing stormy waters.